Well, if we cast our minds back to a few weeks ago, I'm sure that all of us were moved by those images of people seeking to flee Afghanistan. They were forced to flee not only their homeland, but also their individual homes. And that is why it was really important for me that we were able to do something with our harvest offering that was kind of practical in order to support them. You know, it's very easy, isn't it, to see images on our TV screens and then kind of turn it off and go away and do nothing about it. But actually, as God's people, we're called to do something about it. And our harvest gifts will be used for those people who have settled here in Harrogate and the surrounding area from Afghanistan. And people, first of all, to provide some basic needs. They get a house, but they don't have any of the basic needs. And in particular, to enable them to be able to have some of the things that make a house into a home. Because actually, the Bible's consistent message is, as followers of Jesus, we are called to be people of welcome. That we are called to welcome the strangers we saw in our prayers. That we are called to treat people who have been displaced, refugees, migrants, whatever we want to call them, people like that, with compassion and with love. Enable them to be part of a community, to have that sense of acceptance and belonging, both within the wider community, but particularly for those of us who are in church, and that sense of being able to welcome them into the church community. That is our calling. But I also want us to stop for a moment and think about and put ourselves into the shoes of what it must be like for somebody who has been displaced from the land, everything they know, and their home. Home is a very simple word. It's only four letters. But actually, it's such a profound word as well. We understand the importance of building a home. We maybe understand something of what the difference is between having a house and having a home. A house may mean that sense of having somewhere to shelter, but it can be somewhere that's broken into. It might become an unbearable financial burden for some people. Maybe an enclosure where the walls seem too close. Actually, home, on the other hand, is something that is more than a physical space. Home is about food and warmth. It's about that sense of relationship, a sense of security and nurture. That sense that a home is kind of created and woven together with hands and hearts of love. Home is made up both of a place, but also of people. People are the most important aspect of a home. But actually, as people, we inhabit places. And actually, we have that opportunity to transform places, the places where we are. Maybe when I speak about the word home, you think about the place that you grew up in. Memories that probably include both people, but also places. It's really interesting that if at Christmas maybe, people will often ask me the question, are you going home for Christmas? Well, actually, I've got a home here in Harrogate. But they mean, and I often say, oh, yeah, I'm going home for Christmas. Actually, that's that sense where my mum is and where I was born, the house that I was born. I still refer to it, and other people refer to it as home. That's why often people find it really hard to leave a family home. Not physically the space, but actually the memories that were created in that place. A sight or a smell or sounds can kind of trigger off memories from years ago of things that we did in a particular place or with particular people. Somebody was visiting the manse. I can't remember who it was. You might even be here. Somebody was visiting the manse a couple of years ago and came out of the downstairs toilet and said, oh, that took me back to my grandparents, because they had the same tiles as you've got on the bathroom toilet in the manse. Sally and I yesterday were at Harrogate School of Theology and Mission, and there was a guy called Stephen Cottrell speaking. He was talking about your favourite journey, and he said his favourite journey is always the one that's taken him home. That sense of wherever home was, that was his favourite journey. I'm going to ask David to put an image up on the screen, because you might remember that last year Harvest was our first service back in our building last year, and I asked you to share something that you were thankful for. And this is the image that Herb Simon sent through. It is a place from his childhood, and the caption he said was, "I'm thanking God for happy memories of my country childhood." That sense that he thought about being thankful, he went back to his country childhood, and that would have been a few years ago. For Herb, he's probably listening, so I need to be careful what I say. But actually, we also need to recognise, don't we, that not everybody has the gift of a home. As I said, at the end of 2020, 82 million people were without a homeland or without a home to call their own. And for others, sadly, home is a place of abuse and violence. It's somewhere to escape from rather than somewhere, a refuge to go to. And actually, I would say that over the last 18 months or so, we've all known that sense of isolation as we were kind of almost restricted to our homes. And that's a daily reality for lots of people who are young and old, of kind of having to be in their homes. We acknowledge that not always homes are happy places. That is a reality of life. But at best, homes are places of sanctuary, where we can be known for who we are, where we can be loved and live life. It's a place of nurture if we've got children and grandchildren, but also a place of hospitality and welcome for anybody who might come in. That sense of acceptance is also a place of lots of hard work if you're somebody that has to do all the cleaning in the house. That's what originally came to my mind. But actually, the comfort of a home is a stabling reality of life, particularly for children. That sense of relationship and warmth and food and safety is what God wants for each of his people that he's created. Which is why it's really important, I think, for those of us that have homes, to think about the type of home that we are building. Often we might spend a lot of time and money and energy on decorating and kind of furnishing and renovating our homes. Lots of TV programs, aren't there, about doing that. But actually, particularly as the people of God, it's good to think about, what sort of home are we building? Do we put that same time and energy into thinking purposefully how we can use our home for kingdom purposes? To think about shaping our homes so that they are a sanctuary for people. That sense of nurturing and reflecting God and the nature and character of God in our homes as well as our lives. For our children and grandchildren, for the immediate family that might come into our homes. But also thinking about the many or the few guests who come into our homes. Do we create a welcoming environment, even at the door, even if people stay at the door, and we can still create that sense of welcome? We can extend that sense of hospitality around the table, feeding body as well as soul. Maybe we can encourage us, now things have opened back up, to invite somebody for a coffee or for lunch at your home. Actually, it changes relationships if you invite somebody into your home or if you go into somebody else's home. And if you can't manage that, maybe your home can be the place where you can pray for people or write notes or call people to give that sense of encouraging others. Nurturing a sense of community, hospitality, and a sense of God's presence in your home. I wonder whether we all crave that sense of home, because actually it's a larger reflection of that desire for home and for a place of security, that eternal home of heaven. Because ultimately, as followers of Jesus, we are heading for a heavenly home. Right at the beginning of the Bible, God gave the place of Eden. The Garden of Eden is a place of home for Adam and Eve, but you know that things went wrong. That actually they were kind of kicked out of the garden, out of the home, and continued to go on their way. They never returned to that garden, but God, I guess, always knew that we would need a place of home, a place of sanctuary. And so he built this place in heaven, our heavenly home, which actually, if we are a follower of Jesus, we are kind of making our way towards that heavenly home, that city that God is building or has built. which is why if we're part of the kingdom of God, 1 Peter, we looked at it probably about a year ago, the book of Peter reminds us that we are strangers, that we are simply traveling through this world. Our destination is a place in the future, our destination of heaven. We are called to be foreigners, almost strangers on earth, because our ultimate destination is our eternal heavenly home. And actually, for me, the person that shows that, one of the people that shows that the most, is the person that Jill read about earlier on, the Old Testament character of Abraham. If you know anything about Abraham, he was called, he wasn't forced, but he was called to leave his homeland and the majority of people. And he was called to travel to a country he didn't know. He was called to set out, not knowing where he was going. He set out on the basis of a promise that involved both a physical land, the promised land, but also the promise of a people, a nation, a son, and a family. And although God's promise was that he would possess a land, or his people would possess a land, actually that was never Abraham's ultimate destination and hope. Even when he got to the promised land, there were people inhabiting it. And so, as Jill read, actually Abraham lived in tents for almost the whole of his life. That sense of kind of journeying along the way. He was a wealthy man. He could have bought a few acres of land and created his own promised land. But instead, he held on to and trusted the promise of God. He exercised that persistent and consistent faith, because the Bible tells us he considered him faithful who had made the promise. A great thing to remember, he considered him faithful who had made the promise. For Abraham, he lived as a pilgrim, prepared to live in tents. The word that Hebrews 11 that Jill read, the word for tents, is the same word that we find in John's Gospel, where it talks about the word became flesh and dwelt among us, tabernacled. The word dwelt is the same word that is used for Abraham's tents and that kind of sense of journeying. Jesus and Abraham both tended to get kind of together, that sense of a kind of transitional temporary situation. He confessed to Abraham that he was an alien and stranger in this world, that his ultimate hope was fixed on something that was permanent and eternal. That he looked forward to a city with foundations, that sense of security that can never be destroyed, whose architect and builder is God. That sense of stability, not in material, earthly things, but in his heavenly focus, that heavenly realm. Heaven, the place where one day all people from the north and the south, east and west will gather, believers of God will gather together in the place of heaven, people and place, who will know the joy and the peace of spending eternity with God in our perfect home. The picture of the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, gives us that image of that being our true home. So let me ask you, is that the place where you are heading? The writer of Hebrews, both to his readers then and now, talks about us journeying through this world, that we too can have our ultimate gaze and hope on the future of that heavenly home and the promise, the security of that eternal promise of a city built by God where he will dwell with his people and us with him. I'm hoping this morning that that gives us hope, not just for ourselves, but also for our loved ones who know the Lord. Harvest is a good time, a great time to remind ourselves that God is faithful to his promises, that we are called to live by faith, considering him faithful who has made the promise. And as Abraham's story reminds us, that is enough. So let's just be still for a moment to think about our physical homes, to think about what they look like and what they feel like, and maybe kind of be challenged about that, but also think about that sense of promise that he who's promised is faithful. And as we do so, I want to read the words of a song. I couldn't get it because of the copyright. I couldn't get it to play, but I just want to read the words out as we reflect. I have a home, eternal home, but for now I walk this broken world. You walked it first, you know our pain, but you show that hope can rise again up from the grave. So abide with me, Lord, abide with me. Don't let me fall, don't let me go. Walk with me and never leave, ever close. God, abide with me. There in the night, Gethsemane, before the cross, before the nails, overwhelmed, alone you prayed. You met us in our suffering and bore our shame. A love that will never let us go. So abide in me, abide with me. Don't let me fall, don't let me go. Walk with me and never leave. Ever close, God, abide with me. And up ahead, eternity, we'll weep no more and sing for joy. Abide with me, ever close, God, abide with me.